This is Jay Sekulo, a major development with the Inspector General's report on FISA abuse.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a great July 4th and a great weekend. So here's what you got. Reluctant witnesses in the FISA abuse probe agree to talk to the DOJ's Inspector General. So Horowitz's Inspector General report was due to be released literally anytime this month. With the appointment of U.S. Attorney Durham out of Connecticut that's now overseeing this entire probe of what led to this investigation, what irregularities have taken place during this investigation, how all of this started, the FISA abuses, all of a sudden witnesses are becoming available. So reluctant witnesses are now willing to talk. One witness outside the Department of Justice and FBI started cooperating, which they view as a breakthrough. This came after the Attorney General ordered U.S. Attorney John Durham to lead a separate investigation into the origins of the Bureau's Crossfire Hurricane, which, of course, was the beginning of the Russia probe. This is now adding, and there may well be many more witnesses. Durham is going to be speaking to Christopher Steele. So all of this is starting to play into a pattern. And there's a difference between an inspector general, what an inspector general within the Department of Justice can do, and what a U.S. attorney can do. U.S. attorney can bring charges in criminal court, can impanel a grand jury. Later in the broadcast, we'll be hearing from former U.S. attorney Andy Economo on that issue. But what's very important right now is to understand that all of a sudden, in the last hours before this report is about to go public, we now have this release of a statement saying it's going to be delayed some. Why? Witnesses are coming forward.
Yes, I mean, and it's not just one. It says reluctant witnesses. Key witnesses sought for questioning by Justice Department IG Michael Horowitz early in the investigation to alleged government surveillance abuse have decided to now come forward at the 11th hour. So as you said, Dad, right before this report, we were expecting initially May, June, now we're into July. Now it makes sense why this report has not yet been released. You've had a number of witnesses. This is not just a single witness, but a number of witnesses, and said at least one of these witnesses was outside of the department and FBI,
right?
And that a breakthrough came because of, as you said, when the attorney general appointed a U.S. attorney who had prosecutorial power. That means the power to subpoena, the power to, again, bring charges if necessary, the power to grant immunity or waive immunity. Suddenly, these individuals, I think, felt the pressure that they should first take the step. I'm sure Durham encouraged them to testify to the, give their testimony to the inspector general,
right,
and then allow him to see the full report. But this is a number of new people coming forward at the 11th hour. I mean, you talk about
very
number of actors in the deep state. Whenever you have witnesses coming forward at the 11th hour.
Some witnesses are cooperating. What does that mean? When witnesses cooperating, they get information about other witnesses.
Yeah.
So all of this now has to be corroborated, obviously. Yeah. Just a statement alone is not enough for a prosecutorial action. But what this tells you is that the investigation into the origins of this Crossfire Hurricane, the investigation of the president, the appointment of Robert Mueller, all of that's being reviewed right now to determine what exactly happened here. You'll remember the Attorney General, Bill Barr, said quite clearly that he was concerned that spying on a campaign, he didn't mean it pejoratively, but spying on a campaign is a big deal. He had to make sure there was authority to engage in that intelligence gathering, if you want to call it that way, to be a little bit more politically correct. But nevertheless, now you've got the inspector general saying, I'm about to issue my report, but I've got more information coming to light, so I got to hold on to that report a little bit because there's more information here than's meeting the eye. In other words, more information I have to include in the report that Durham's going to want to see. That's the U.S. attorney handling this. I'll tell you what this means. The truth is about to come out. It's going to take some time here, but the truth of what started this entire mess is about to come out, and people will ultimately be held accountable. We want your reaction to all of this. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, we've got an email out. We filed a major brief at the Supreme Court of the United States today. Cases versus Price versus City of Chicago. It's about protests in front of abortion clinics and free speech. That has been filed. If you get our email, respond to it. Support the work of the ACLJ. Matching challenge. Any amount you donate, we get a match.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Let me ask you this question, because I think this is a really big deal. The Inspector General says, you know, the investigative phase was completed. I'm finishing up my report. Then all of a sudden, I've got witnesses, additional witnesses I need to interview that are willing to testify. That's a big deal. Some of them outside the agency. Could they be related to Christopher Steele? Maybe. He was outside the agency, although contracted with the agency. So all of that could be at play. At the same time, you got John Durham, the U.S. Attorney for Connecticut. He is, in fact, very involved in all of this because he's doing the criminal or the investigation of the investigators. So what does that mean for people like James Comey, Clapper, Brennan, others, McCabe? We're going to find out. But I want to hear from you. How important of an issue is this for you to get to the bottom of this? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. There's a lot of unanswered questions here, and I just want to know from you, is this an issue that's important to you to get to the bottom of what led to Crossfire Hurricane, which led to the appointment of Bob Mueller through the leak by James Comey? All of that's going to come out. The fusion GPS connection between Bruce Ornelli, you cannot make this stuff up. And that, you know, every time you go through it and you realize it, yeah. you got Bob Mueller supposed to be testifying in about nine days. He is going to be asked questions about the irregularities that took place with his investigation. I mean, how could he not be? Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, what happened to the documents? How big of an issue is that for you to get to the bottom of? We'll take your calls on that at 800-684-3110. Here's what's interesting. Titus on Facebook said, could a reformed FISA program include a defense counsel to keep things confidential, to protect the system from abuses that we've seen, but still give leeway that investigators need? I think once we determine what took place here, there will need to be appropriate safeguards put in place, because the FISA system is a one-sided system. Yep. It is all government all the time, and that's what you're really dealing with.
Yeah, the government's supposed to have the duty of presenting evidence which would, tend to clear or at least be exculpate the person who the warrant is targeted at. And exculpatory information is supposed to be provided. But obviously, I think that this is an interesting idea, is just having maybe a rotating DOJ individual on a rotating basis, just like there's rotating FISA court judges who are FISA defense counsels. That doesn't mean that the individual knows.
Right.
So you don't bring the individual in. I think you still have to protect that process, or else it becomes no more secret court.
Right.
But you could certainly have a a kind of formal...
Almost like a designated yeah. public defender in the sense that you're not interviewing the other witnesses, but they're saying, well, wait a minute, is this verified? Wait, ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Now, the judge is supposed to, but the judge is only going to be able to respond to what they've been given. In this case, it looks like they based these FISA warrants, they finally got one based on this dossier. And supposedly, Brennan and Clapper are saying that they told Comey don't use it. And then Christopher Steele is now supposedly is testifying to Durham saying, hey, I said it was unverified and salacious. I didn't say use it for a FISA warrant, but we know Bruce Orr was pushing it. So anyways, ask yourself this question. Why is Bruce Orr still at the Department of Justice? Try to figure that one out. I'm still trying to figure that one out. How is Bruce Orr still in the Department of Justice in a senior position? Now, he lost the number four slot, but he's still a high-ranking senior Justice Department official. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. Phone lines are jammed, but they'll be opening up in a moment. But I want you to understand the significance of what we're unraveling here, is that we're going to find out, finally, what happened here. You know, we've been able to piece together through our FOIA cases what the outgoing administration, what the Obama administration was doing. What were they doing? They were increasing who had access to raw signal intelligence. They were disseminating that. They were doing unmasking in unprecedented numbers, unmasking American citizens. So all of that was going on. Then we know that they changed that executive order right at the end of the administration. Then what do we also know? That before that, Crossfire Hurricane, the investigation of the president, who was then a candidate, already had started. I think we will see a connection between the investigation of the president from the outset, Crossfire Hurricane, and this unmasking and these FISA warrants. I have no doubt there will be a connection to all of this, and we're about to find that out. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's do that.
Glenn is calling from Oregon on Live 4. Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
Sure.
Hey, my comment is, I think it's of the utmost importance that we find out how, when, and where, regardless of party lines. But I also think it's important that we be careful that it doesn't feel like it is the time that it could be a Republican smash towards the election coming up. Does that make sense?
Well, here's what I think has to happen. We got to determine the facts. What was it that led to the opening of the inquiry? Was it the fact that Christopher Steele dossier, which is what everybody believes, but then Bob Mueller puts in his report, it was the George Papadopoulos meeting, which is so bizarre that that would be a basis upon which you would have started this kind of investigation aimed at a political candidate. But we got to find all that out. Did they use the FISA, in the FISA process, did they in fact use the Christopher Steele dossier? Was that a basis upon which a FISA warrant was issued against an American citizen? If that was in fact the case, we have a right to know that. That would be deemed a very significant development.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what we have to understand here is all of the information and why, I think why now, as the Inspector General was done with his investigation and just preparing the document, why at the 11th hour, even with John Durham's appointment, there are not just one. The first report was it was one key witness.
Now they're saying multiple.
Multiple witnesses coming forward to voluntarily testify. And I mean, yes, I believe that John Durham played the U.S. attorney played an important role in that. But I think that means that there's serious misconduct and that people just no longer want to stay silent on it.
I think also and we'll get into this with Andy Economo, who's a former U.S. attorney from the Northern District of Georgia, Atlanta, to get into the procedures here. But once you've got someone that has subpoena authority and subpoena power and then enforcement power on top of that, I think that ups this significantly and puts a significant differential on what's exactly at play here. So I think what we have to do, in my view, is as we look at all of this, we're going to find out what took place. We're going to find out what happened. We're going to find out who's responsible. But if, in fact, that FISA warrant was based upon, this is the key, was based upon that Steele dossier, and then Mueller saying it's based on, that his investigation is based on Papadopoulos, this does not compute.
No.
And someone's right and someone's wrong, or both of them are wrong. And that is what I believe we have to find out here, is the American people have a right to know who started this, why, what the pretexts were for it, what were the predicates for this, were they valid, were they not, was that dossier used for the FISA warrant? All of that's very significant.
We still don't even know who fired Peter Strzok, because there's...
No, McCabe says he did it, and Mueller says he did it.
And I think what the key was that probably it's a semantics. I think Mueller probably removed him from the team. Because then they go back to the HR department for a while.
Right.
Then McCabe ultimately fired him. But Mueller sticks with he was fired by, he fired him.
You know, right.
He tries to take the high road there. And McCabe,
what did they do with the evidence, by the way, for that 6 weeks?
That's
6 weeks.
That's going to be
6 big.
Weeks
he was on Mueller's team, or 8 with 2 months. And but also the evidence he gathered for a year and a half, because he was on the team initially.
He was the head of the team.
So what happened to that evidence in all of this? Fruit of the poisonous tree, tainted. There's a lot of real questions that have to be asked. All right, taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's
Ruth,
take another call.
In Virginia, on line 5. Ruth,
Hi, Ruth,
welcome
go ahead.
To JSecu Live.
No president deserves the treatment that this president has received.
I agree. This is, look, it's unrelenting. The good thing is that this president continues to govern while all this comes in. But I do think we have reached a threshold here. This is my view, Ruth, that we've reached a threshold here with the appointment of Bill Barr, now John Durham, with Horowitz finishing his report and having the additional witnesses, where we're going to get some answers to unbelievable questions that the American people should be asking and have been asking.
I think it's starting to turn on the other side. You know, they kept pushing and pushing. You know, we want Bob Mueller to testify. We want this to happen. We want all of this. We want to keep this story alive. But by keeping this story alive, it's also kept the news about the IG report and now about these new witnesses and about Durham's appointment alive as well, too. And so I think the left, who thought, oh, let's keep this Mueller report alive, is actually doing something to their extreme detriment. Because I think Bob Mueller is either going to be a complete dud witness next week or is going to be hurt the Democrats, because he's going to just stick to a narrative and just say, you know, I'm not going further than what we said in the report. And they're going to try to push him to say this, this, and that, and he'll say no. And so they're taking a huge risk just by bringing Bob Mueller forward. Now they've got an IG report where they know new people are coming to testify against their friends.
Yes, and
the key is, remember, the people they'd be giving testimony against were Obama people.
So here's the question the question will then be, what does Durham do with this information? Where does he give immunity? How does immunity work? What does that mean to witnesses and what they will say? What other people end up getting involved? All of that is now going to come to light. Now, when we come back from the break, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be joined by Andy Economo, who's a former U.S. attorney. So he understands how this process works. We'll also be joined by our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. There's some policy issues here, what we're going to find out. We're going to take your calls as well. And the question is, how big of an issue is finding out the truth of what started all this to you? Or do you think we should just forget it? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we are filing today at the Supreme Court a brief urging certiorari in a case called Price versus City of Chicago. This is a copy of the brief. I'm holding up my hand for our Facebook and Periscope TV audience. It's a pro-life case, pro-life speech in front of abortion clinics. We think it'd have really tremendous implications for freedom of speech and the ability to speak out against the issue of abortion. Your support of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign makes a huge difference. So any amount you donate is doubled. If you donate $20, someone matches it, it's $40. $40 becomes $80. You know how it works. Let me encourage you. Go to ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ through the matching challenge. Or you could also, this is another way to do it, respond to those emails.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about reluctant witnesses coming forward to the Inspector General Horowitz of the Department of Justice. So what does all that mean? So let's I want to get Dr. Andrew Economo, our U.S. former U.S. attorney from the Northern District of Georgia, in on the conversation. So we've got key witnesses that were sought by the Justice Department's Inspector General Michael Horowitz early in his investigation. They didn't want to cooperate. Now they're coming forward to cooperate after the appointment of John Durham. Right. Why do you think they're coming forward now?
Fear. Fear okay. of being indicted, fear of being prosecuted, and the necessity to come forward with evidence in the hope that you can cut some kind of deal with the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, Durham, that gives you immunity and gives you some ability not to be prosecuted if you tell the truth, because you can never get an immunity deal from perjury.
Horowitz himself, as the Inspector General, has no prosecutorial...
No.
So he's limited to what?
He is limited to investigating and finding facts and reporting them to the Justice Department. He's like an internal security agency for, and each department of government, Jay, has it. The Justice Department has it, Treasury has an Inspector General, every agency has one, and their job is to look internally at what is going on in the department and to make factual findings to the head of that department, in the case of justice, to the Attorney General, as to what he has found factually. But he does not have, the Inspector General or she does not have, the right to prosecute cases.
Now, John Durham, appointed as the special counsel here, kind of not really a special counsel, but the counsel overseeing this,
right,
as U.S. attorney, he does.
He has the
grand jury.
He has the power that is deadly in terms of what it can produce, and that is the power of the grand jury subpoena.
All
that's right.
Right. So, Harry, let's talk about this from a policy perspective for a moment. There is a great desire to learn what happened.
Absolutely.
We've got now steps being taken in that direction. Horowitz said initially, as Jordan reported, that his report was pretty much done. It was going to be reviewed by the Justice Department. Now witnesses are coming forward. Are we going to find out what started this investigation?
Well, certainly I hope so. The investigation into the origins of the Crossfire Hurricane scheme is highly necessary given the scrofulous nature of the entire Russia collusion narrative that has been pushed by Democrats primarily in order to delegitimize a duly elected president. So if we look at the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, and if we look at its purpose basically, A, was first aimed at preventing the election of President Trump, in my opinion, and then it has been pushed further in order to impair the effectiveness of his presidency, which means that President Trump has been impaired in terms of delivering what he has promised to the American people. So, in effect, what we're trying to deal with here is we're trying to discover how this started, and more it looks like State Department officials, DOJ officials, FBI officials have all been implicated in this entire scheme. Now we need to hold these individuals accountable, and we need to ensure that more than the fact that they have been fired or terminated, they need to face the prospect of justice in their own right.
So there's an interesting dynamic with all of this, in my view, Jordan, and that is politically what's interesting here. Is during the Democratic debates, this issue never came up.
No.
Does that mean that they've polled in and know this is a no-go?
I think so. I think that they realize that until you really see the full scope, now that you've got a person like John Durham, you've got to be very careful, unless you're the outlier candidates like de Blasio and Eric Swalwell, who are barely making debate stages. Unless you're those and you're trying to throw the Russia stuff, the rest, I mean, again, they're staying totally away from this issue. Because especially if you're like a Joe Biden, and he already made a bad comment over the weekend where he said, you know, that we had nothing to do with Russia, and the whole this all happened. The Russian election interference that was found to have happened, not to be coordinated with the Trump campaign, but that Russia was trying to influence and impact our election, all happened under John Brennan, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and James Clapper's watch. They were all there. They let it happen. They let it occur, which makes you wonder, did they really think it was going to benefit Donald Trump? Or maybe they thought with the Steele dossier originating out of Russia, that was going to benefit their more likely friend like Hillary Clinton.
Well, here's the interesting dynamic.
It's very bizarre that Joe Biden makes that comment that, they did everything to stop Russia. They did nothing.
No, so here's what's the interesting dynamic to me, Andy. It's kind of following up what Jordan said, though. But you have this dual plot, if you will. You've got this was all started because of George Papadopoulos' comments to some professor, right? In England. And then you have, and that's the Mueller narrative. He stays away from the FISA. The investigators are saying, no, we got all this crossfire hurricane starts before Papadopoulos. It starts because of FISA abuse the FISA warrants, which is the Steele dossier. It's one or the other, I would think.
Yeah, well, obviously Mueller had his agenda, I think, and his prosecutors, all of which were Democrat-leaning or Democrats themselves, had their own narrative. So we're going to start it in London with a leak from a professor, right?
Right.
On the other side, the Attorney General looks at it, the new Attorney General looks at it through the new special prosecutor or prosecutor from the District of Connecticut who has a very good reputation and says, that's not the way it started. It started through other mechanisms. It started through an abuse of process. And that's, I think, ultimately what's going to be found here.
So, Harry, if there is, in fact, which I believe there is, an abuse of process, from a policy standpoint in the United States of America, we don't tolerate abuse of process.
Absolutely.
It's actionable, in other words.
Absolutely not. And I think here the stakes have been raised even further than with respect to a normal investigation because we're talking about FISA. So we're talking about the foreign intelligence courts, and we are talking about essentially a warrantless, this is my opinion, investigation of an American citizen. So the claim here has been that Carter Page was caught up, even though there was no legal basis for the warrant in the first place. So arguably what we have here is an illegal warrant. That then justifies, in my opinion, if we can find the author, the initiator of this process, a severe prosecution against that particular individual.
Or individuals.
And it's very possible, if not very likely, that we will uncover evidence of a conspiracy, not a Russia conspiracy, but a domestic conspiracy to interfere with an election. So if we're talking about protecting our democracy from foreigners, equally true, we should talk about protecting our democracy from domestic conspiracies.
Yeah, I think that ultimately here what we're seeing is an inspector general, to sum it up, was ready to issue his report. But a U.S. attorney gets appointed, and these people came forward because they don't want to be interviewed by that U.S. attorney with subpoena power, who then asked them, why didn't you come forward and tell us the IG voluntarily? Why are you only doing this to me? And then you suddenly, you don't get your waivers, you don't get your immunity. So they're rushing. And now, because of these new witnesses, the IG has got to re-interview people. So that's why there's the delay. I mean, we now know why this report did not get released in May or June like the Attorney General initially thought. But it was finished until this new group came forward.
Jay, there was collusion in the 2016 election. There was collusion. There's no doubt about it. But it was collusion among the inner circle in the Justice Department.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the right. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
This is the headline. Reluctant witnesses in FISA abuse probe agree to talk to DOJ Inspector General. These are witnesses that did not initially agree to talk to the Inspector General about the FISA abuse and the use of the Christopher Steele dossier as a basis of FISA abuse. Now they're willing to come forward. I think it's important to set out from the outset here why that is the case. I'm going to go to our former U.S. Attorney, Andy Economo. What has changed for Horowitz where he had witnesses not coming forward and now witnesses coming forward? You said the prospect of?
Prosecution.
Okay.
It's a very power of nothing has any force behind it unless it is backed by fear of something of some kind, fear of death or fear of criminal prosecution in this case. If you don't have that, you don't have any power. Well, now you've got a U.S. attorney who has been empowered to use one of the most powerful weapons in the arsenal of the federal prosecutor, and that is the grand jury subpoena and the right to prosecute or to immunize if someone from prosecution, except for perjury, can't immunize anybody for lying to the grand jury or making a false statement. And that has been a complete deal changer, Jay, in this entire operation.
Harry, I think the appointment of Durham has changed the calculus upon the lens upon which these potential witnesses are now seeing this case.
Well, I think that is correct. And I also think we should not underestimate the power of a statement by the Attorney General. Attorney General Barr said we need to find out the origins of spying on the Trump election campaign. That is a very, very powerful statement. He was crystal clear. I think that to some extent has unleashed John Durham to go forward with vim and vigor. That's entirely necessary. And I also think Attorney General Barr's statement vindicates what President Trump said more than 2 years ago.
Well, I'm going to play you. This was Senator Sheehan's comment and question to then Attorney General.
She can take credit for starting off.
Barr, here you go.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I don't. I guess you could. I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me.
But the question is whether it was adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation.
Then he had another statement where he talks about that. I think that's a big deal. That if you find that information out, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Spying on a U.S. presidential campaign. I mean, they are calling this a breakthrough in the investigation. A breakthrough. There hasn't been words or adjectives used like that in so far in the investigation to Crossfire Hurricane in such a long time. But again, listen, why is this so important? I don't take your phone calls. I think our callers are understanding the importance of this. It is important for the 2020 election. It's important for President Trump never to be treated this way or for any president to be treated this way. But it's important to know how this happened. Take a listen. Again, back to the exchange between Senator Jeanne Shaheen, who I'm sure she's a Democrat from New Hampshire, wishes she never went down this line of questioning with Bill Barr, because ultimately this is what led to the U.S. attorney appointment, the spying issue, and the American people really getting back into this issue. Take a listen.
One of the things I want to do is pull together all the information from the various investigations that have gone on, including on the Hill and in the department, and see if there are any remaining questions to be addressed.
And can you share with us why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections. We want to make sure that during an election, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal. And here's our call, Renee in Colorado online, too. We don't have time for Renee yet. We will get to Renee and Terry Wright. We come back from the break. If you want to talk to us on air, we got a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I think there's been some good calls about reforming FISA as well. Remember, July, as we come back from the holiday, is a matching challenge month. Whatever you are able to donate to the ACLJ, your donation is doubled. A $20 donation, that's all you're charged on your card, but effectively becomes $40 for the ACLJ. Donate today if you can at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. As I said, I wanted to get to Renee's call right away. Let's go to Renee in Colorado online too. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love what you do. I pray for you guys daily.
Thanks.
I have a statement and a couple questions.
All right.
My statement is this is very important, not for this 2020 election, but for future elections. For America, we need to be sure that it's a fair election, and I don't think it was after everything that we've seen. My questions are: when will the conclusion happen? Will it happen before the 2020 election? And will the Democrats ever come to a point where they will have to admit that they did this and that it was wrong and that they take responsibility for it?
I think that's why they did not have it in the debates. I think they're moving away from it in the debates because they realize now that you have a U.S. attorney that's evaluating this out of Connecticut who's going to get to the bottom of this and find out that it was the cabal of Clapper, Brennan, and...
Doesn't help Joe Biden.
And exactly, and Comey. It was under the watch of Joe Biden and Barack Obama when President Obama was the administration in charge. That's when all this was launched. So all that, you're going to find out the facts, and the facts are not going to bode well for them, and they know that. And that's why I personally believe... Andy, that's why these witnesses are coming forward. They know something's about to happen here.
Yeah, they do. Anytime that you have a plethora of witnesses, as you do here, and I happen to know the number, but I'm not going to say, but it's a lot, and they're coming forward because of an apprehension that once the investigation gets grinding, as it is right now, they're going to be the targets or the subjects of the investigation. And the thing that you do when you see that coming is you come in and you do what we, as prosecutors, say. The best in is the best out. The first in is the best out, rather. In other words, you come in and you cut your deal with the government right away. You get yourself immunity, and you come in, you tell the full story. Because one way or another, this Attorney General, Bill Barr, because that's who ultimately is going to make the decision, is going to get to the bottom of what happened.
I agree.
I think it's also why Nancy Pelosi has been so strong in her opposition impeachment. And she's willing to engage now, if you notice, with the fights with AOCs and those types, because she realizes how damaging that could be to the party. And so this line of keep bringing Russia up, keep bringing impeachment up, is going nowhere good for the Democrats. I'm sure Nancy Pelosi wishes Bob Mueller was not testifying next week to move on to other issues, move on to issues where they can actually try and talk issues on instead of just talking about Donald Trump. But listen to this one. This was during Joe Biden's weekend apology tour, which he tried to bury, of course, in the July 4th holiday weekend. He apologizes for his friends, of his segregationist friends. Can you believe we're doing that in 2020? He's apologizing for his segregationist friends in the U.S. Senate and for some of his positions on busing and other issues. But then he said this about Russia and their interference. Take
this
a listen very closely. This is one of the most absurd statements.
Yep.
This is kind of like another moment of like the raising the hands if you want to give free insurance to all illegal immigrants. This is another moment for Joe Biden I think kills him in a general election by 32.
Look at what's happening with Putin. While Putin is trying to undo our elections, he is undoing elections in Europe. Look what's happened in Hungary. Look what's happened in Poland. Look what's happened in Moldova. Look what's happening. You think that would have happened on my watch or Barack's watch? You can't answer that, but I promise you it wouldn't have. And it didn't.
But it did. I mean, that's the whole point.
You can't have it both ways here, guys.
No, it did. They started this under Barack Obama's administration. He did nothing, Harry, about it. Zero.
Absolutely. So what we have here is a domestic conspiracy, domestic collusion. And so we have essentially an attempt to interfere with the U.S. election by domestic actors. But under President Obama, President Obama did nothing to deal with alleged Russian interference. And by the way, the so-called Russia interference did not involve U.S. actors, despite what the Democrats are now saying. Biden, in my opinion, probably needs to get out of this election campaign, in part because he suffers from a faulty memory and he keeps implicating himself in incompetence.
Yes. I mean, here's the thing. Let's remember, the Obama administration started with kissing up to Russia and the failed reset button. It looked like a nuclear button, the red button that Hillary Clinton tried to give to Lavrov. And it was like
the reset.
It was communicated wrong, mistranslated. That was then. Then remember, Barack Obama was caught on audio telling Medvedev, who was the interim president while they were changing the law so that Putin could come back to being president and Putin was prime minister, that after I get reelected, we're going to be able to deal a lot easier with you guys.
I'll have a lot more flexibility after the election. Tell yourself, Vladimir.
Let's not forget, okay, one thing that Biden left out there. Other than the fact that Russia was meddling in our elections and that all of our intelligence agencies, obviously, you know, Biden, Brennan and Clapper say they all knew that and did nothing.
Right.
Russia annexed
part
of another country. The annexation of Crimea. And what did the U.S. do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Would not provide arms to the Ukrainians. Would not even provide supplies to Ukrainians to fight back. They sat back as typical, not even leading from behind. They were scared of the Russians, scared of Putin. And I think that it was the Obama administration that really set the stage for what the Russians did in the 2016 election cycle, because they were scared of standing up to Putin. They had no idea how to stand up to these guys. He was not good at dealing with strong men because he was a weak leader. Obama liked dealing with European kind of leadership. He didn't like dealing with strong men, which you have to do if you're president of the United States.
So here is the famous – this is the famous conversation.
My last election. After my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. And then Medvedev says, I will tell Vladimir. This is – you're talking about Russian collusion. How about that one? I'll have more flexibility. Can you imagine if Donald Trump was caught on mic saying, I'm going to have more flexibility after I'm reelected?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the reaction?
Oh, the reaction would have been stupendous.
Treason is what they've been saying.
Yes, treason and violation of oath of office and impeachment and everything else. But, of course, if Obama says it, it's the sacred cow and you don't touch him and you don't do anything. But I think something that Harry said that I think is very important. We had collusion in the election. We had interference, but it was of a domestic nature. And this U.S. Attorney Durham, under the auspices and under the watch of Bill Barr, is going to get to the bottom of it, Jay. I am confident.
I have no doubt about that. And I think it's not going to bode well. And that's why I think the Russian narrative, Jordan, what you said, is falling apart right now, because it's going to come right back on the actors under the Obama administration.
I mean, like Joe Biden says that, and it brings up the issue of, what are you talking about, Joe Biden? You and Barack Obama could have put a stop to this. You could have at least tried to fight back against the Russian interference. You could have warned the country. You could have warned the campaigns. You could have warned specific areas where they were being targeted, or the social media companies. You could have gone to them and done this, but instead you let it play out. And I think he let it play out because though it was domestic collusion leading this, the info that they were getting was from Russia. Right. So the Democratic colluders on the Obama team and Clinton team were getting their info from Russians. That is key. That's
all going to come out in these reports.
Right. And
in the
real collusion with Russia was the Clinton campaign.
No question about it. So here's what's going to come out. Who was talking to whom and when? What was the information that was used to get this FISA warrant? Was it started because of Papadopoulos, or was it started because of the Steele dossier, or both, or neither? Who told the FISA court that they should utilize the dossier? Because we know they were turned down for the FISA application on multiple occasions. And we'll see the FISA warrant, I guess, in all this process. So all of this is going to come out. And then the great question you have to ask yourself is, okay, what does that mean for the American people? That means we've had a 2.5 year, more than that now, hoax. This investigation's origins were corrupt and irregular from the outset. I've been saying that since it started. I wanted to know what happened. So many irregularities, Andy, in this investigation, as you look from just a prosecutorial standards of what the agents were doing or not doing. It's unbelievable.
It's a textbook version of how to do things wrong, how to do things illegally, covertly, spying, as the Attorney General called it, and it was spying. And it's really sad to see that our Justice Department and our government was used, manipulated by the Democrats to unseat a candidate for president once he had been elected and to try to deter him, to inhibit and impede his campaign as he was trying to be elected. That's exactly what happened here.
You know, we come back. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. Final segment. We take all your calls. 1-800-684-3110. One issue that we didn't address yet is the census question that the Department of Justice has reversed course after the order of President Trump and is fighting back to get that census question on U.S. citizenship added. So we can discuss that if you have calls on that. 1-800-684-3110. Continue to take your phone calls about the latest, quote, breakthrough with key witnesses coming forward in the FISA abuse investigation. The number you call is 1-800-684-3110. You know, Mary wrote in on Facebook, if we donate by mail, can we still have our donation double
yes.
the matching challenge?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because this is a matching challenge month. The easiest way to do the matching challenge for those listening or watching is to go to aclj.org, make your donation online. Whatever amount you choose, that's what you're charged on your credit card. We have a donor ready to match that exact amount, so you double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, so we answer your questions on any of these topics. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Yeah. We're going to go in the order that people have been holding on.
Listen, I think it's an absolutely fair question from Terry in Georgia on line one as this has gone on. Terry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. We've all been waiting for the IG report with bated breath, and the Democrats, of course, have not. Now the IG report is delayed, and the witnesses are now going in voluntarily. So my question is, do you think that this could partly be delaying tactics?
No, I think this is what Andy said earlier. I think this is fear of possible prosecution and go in there and cut a deal and see if you can testify with under some kind of immunity because the Durham has got subpoena power. He's got a grand jury. And, you know, the inspector general doesn't. So I think that my sense is, Andy, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. There's you have a person in the attorney general who can only look at factual findings, make recommendations, say what happened. But you have a prosecutor in Durham under Bill Barr who can do a lot more than that. He can indict people. He can issue a grand jury subpoena and make you appear before a federal grand jury and answer questions, hopefully truthfully. He can immunize you. Yep. In other words, he can say, I'm not going to prosecute you, you're going to answer. And if you don't answer, you're going to get locked up until you do answer.
Right.
Because that's the penalty for refusing to testify under immunity.
Oh, right.
You get locked up until you open your mouth. So those are the kinds of things that, and I don't think this is dilatory. I don't think this is delay. I think this is moving forward rapidly.
And let's remember, we're talking election before the election. I know the Democrat debates have started. They don't even have their first caucus until February.
It's a long time away.
Okay, so this we're talking a long time before people are voting in November of 2020 in that election. So I think that there's plenty of time to both finish this IG report with these new witnesses and have Durham do a significant amount of his work. Maybe it's not totally finished, but a significant amount of his work, but definitely the IG report done. Before the election. It's just, I think we kind of get caught up in, oh, the Democrat debates have started, so it's like the election in 3 months. No, the election's not in 3 months. It's a long way away.
So, Harry, do you think, I was thinking about following what Jordan said. If you look at the fact that nothing came up in the debates about this topic, they know what's going on now. So that means Comey, Clapper, Brennan all know. McCabe knows. They all know. Strzok knows. They all know what's going to happen here. Is that part of the silence on the left?
I think it is. I mean, I think many of these individuals are relatively intelligent, and they know what the likely outcome of the IG's investigation will be, of the outcome of the investigation by U.S. Attorney John Durham. And in many respects, they would like to avoid the subject. But among the unanswered questions, which I hope the IG answers along with John Durham, is this particular question: who initiated the connection between the DOJ and Fusion GPS? We all know that Fusion GPS was hired to either discover or create dirt on opposing candidates.
Right.
And there's some evidence in the record suggesting that the Democratic National Committee hired Fusion GPS. And it's very possible, if not likely, that Fusion GPS and the Democratic National Committee decided to work with Obama-Biden officials in order to advance this particular story. So it's very likely that the tentacles of this domestic collusion conspiracy narrative go very, very deep into the United States government. And perhaps out of all of this, we'll discover some information with respect to the operation of the deep state.
Yeah, I think that's the plan anyways, to get that information out. Let's take another call.
Yeah, Joel in Michigan on line five. Joel, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Joel.
Hey, I had some questions about the legitimacy of the FISA Corp even investigating an American citizen. To my mind, it was established to fight terrorism and to give us a tool to fight terrorism, not to be investigating American citizens without releasing that exculpatory information.
Well, I think, look, I mean, the FISA court plays a role, but it's supposed to be foreign intelligence surveillance.
Not domestic.
So it's supposed to be spies from foreign countries that have been identified and getting warrants on them in a secret way so that they're not identified as having warrants on them so that they don't know that they're being watched by the U.S. government.
Right.
Or, and of course, then it was upgraded after 9/11 to also be utilized to fight in the war against Islamic terrorism. So, yes, you're right on those points. The problem is, Joel, there is a provision that allows the U.S. government to turn an American into a foreign agent. And thus, by turning an American into a foreign agent, they can then go into the FISA court and say, well, really, this is not an American anymore.
Well, he's an American, but he's a foreign agent.
For purposes of our court,
right.
This is a foreign, this is someone working on behalf of a foreign government or entity. Thus, we can use FISA against him. And I think that's part that needs to be reformed.
Yes, that, couple that with the unmasking of American citizens
and
that
maybe
was
that
going
public
on.
Public defender
and
option.
That public defending, maybe a permanent defense witness that could raise these questions, Andy. Maybe that's the way to go. I think we're going to need, we will need to know what abuse took place within the FISA realm to determine how best to fix it.
That's right. You have to find out what the problem was, and so you make sure it doesn't recur. I think that it will ultimately be determined that this FISA judge was lied to, and that Judge Contreras was not told of the exculpatory nature of evidence that the government had, that the government relied on a warrant that was not just, as Mr. Comey says, salacious, but was engineered by Democrats as opposition research against the president-elect or in the presidential campaign of Donald Trump. And all this information should have been disclosed to the judge. If I was the judge, I would be very angry right now. I think there was contumacious conduct, that is conduct bordering on contempt here. In fact, it was contempt. And I think that's all going to come out.
I think that's right. All right, let's grab the last call of the day.
Yeah, Donna in Minnesota on Live 4. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Donna.
Hi. Would that quote from Joe Biden brought to mind that wasn't it Biden and Obama who were not only open but open and proud about their interference in Bibi Netanyahu's election in Israel?
Well, they weren't open and proud about it. We filed a lawsuit and found it out. That they were this funding was going on to an organization that was trying to unseat the conservative government. It took an ACLJ lawsuit, a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the State Department to find that out, and we sure did, that the Obama-Biden administration was engaged in that activity through the State Department. So the answer to that is yes. So, I don't think there's any surprise. I think the surprise in all of this is now we're going to get to the bottom line of what happened.
Yes, and that is good for the American people. It is good for our country. It's good for our president, future presidents, the next presidential campaign, the next election. And again, I think, just to underscore, this is a reason why I support the work of the ACLJ, because it wasn't like Biden and Obama were saying out there, oh, yeah, we're interfering with the Israeli election. We had to uncover that, we did, with the money that was going to the State Department to a group led by Mahmoud Abbas's son to unseat Netanyahu. And we found that out through our FOIA, through our work at the ACLJ.
What you just said?
Yeah, I mean,
think about
that. But that's why you support the work of the ACLJ.
Exactly.
And Matching Challenge Month is a great time to do it.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were money from the State Department going to Mahmoud Abbas's son to interfere with an election. Basically, that was it. But it took a lawsuit by the ACLJ, and your support's critical. That's why we've got the Matching Challenge, ACLJ.org. We encourage you to do it online. You can do it by mail. You can do it by phone. You can also respond to the email, ACLJ.org. And whatever amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20.